We have just had a week of praying for America and for Ethiopia, for the problems that exist in both of our countries. I got involved in politics here in America back in the early 80s. And the Christians took over the Republican Party. And we were going to bring changes to our country. We did take over the Republican Party, but the problem is that we didn't always act in a godly manner ourselves in doing so. I regretted what we did. Since that time, God has taught me a lot about what He expects and what He's looking for. And God says a lot in His Word about judgment to the nations. But He was mostly concerned with His people because He spoke into His people truths and commandments. He taught them about what it means to love. And then when Jesus came, He showed it Himself. Then He left, and then He sent His own Spirit to be in us. And His Spirit gave life to the words that Jesus had spoke so we could then understand what Jesus was saying. But even still, now we have more responsibility, because with greater knowledge comes more responsibility. God holds us more responsible for keeping His word than He did the Hebrew people back in the Old Testament. He disciplined His own people then pretty severely. And as we read in the New Testament, people seem to pick out the nice things, the things that make for us to feel good about ourselves, and those are all good things. But I see the New Testament as having more correction than it does patting on the back. If we want the peace and the joy and the love, we have to make some sacrifices. We have to put to death the man of the flesh in us. He wrote in the book of Revelation, He wrote 7 letters to 7 churches. And in each one of those letters, there's more correction than there is anything else. We decry the sins of the world. What do we expect from ungodly, from people who don't have God living in them? We expect people who don't have God living in them to act godly? When we ourselves, who have God living in us, don't act much differently than they. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the 7 golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false, and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place, unless you repent. Yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. I hear from that message that God expects us, his people, to repent and to overcome the sin which so easily entangles us. For it's those who overcome who will be in the paradise of God. It is those who overcome their sin. That means quit doing it. It is those that he will grant to eat of the tree of life. That's life, eternal life itself, which is in the paradise of God. I could go on and read the letter to the church and to the message to the church in Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira. Sardis, Philadelphia, there's seven letters. Let me read the last one. I believe all these letters are for people, the body of Christ, today. We each of us may have bits of this, these problems or those problems that are listed in the seven church, in the into these set letters in the seven churches. Here's one I think fits a lot in America today. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I would make a note that he's talking about righteousness here. We are lacking the doing of the righteousness. He gives it to us freely. But what he gives us, he expects us to use, to plant and to grow and to water. If we don't, at the end, we're going to be shrinking away from him in shame at his coming. And even what we had, because we have not done the righteousness that he gave us, he will take back. And he'll give it to the one who produced. I advise you to buy from me gold, refined by fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. In Hebrews, It's translated discipline in most translations. But the word he uses is scourges. What they did when they whipped Jesus, well, that's the Roman scourge. The Hebrew scourge was beating with rods. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Zealous would be hot, not lukewarm. We're lukewarm and we look at the world who is cold and we say, "You come on, get with it, world. You need to repent." But we have the truth, and he expects us to repent. Behold, now he's talking to us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me. It reminds me of in the Song of Solomon, how the bride is in bed laying down, and there's a knock at the door. It's the bridegroom. And she says, "Oh, I've gotten all ready for bed. I'm lying in bed. I can't get up now and get my feet dirty." And he leaves. Then she thinks better of it and goes to the door. But he's already gone. And on the doorknob, the doorknob dripped with liquid myrrh from his hand. God knocks at our door. We need to be like the five wise virgins, not the five foolish. The five wise virgins opened the door every day, filled their lamps with the oil of the Holy Spirit, so that not just the doorknob, but their entire lives dripped with liquid myrrh, perfumed by the Holy Spirit. That's what God calls us to every day, seeking him with all of our heart, putting him before everything else. Making the tough sacrifice. If it costs me nothing, what is the sacrifice? I'll give him the sacrifice of praise. Well, except, you know, I got to sleep a little longer, and then I have to get up and go to work, and then I got to do this, and then I just don't have time. We don't have time for eternity. If we don't make time for eternity now, when he comes back, we're going to be shrinking away from him in shame. It is coming like the five foolish virgins. If you don't know what I'm talking about there, you can read of the 10 virgins in the Gospels. Just Google it and read the story. But here he is. He says, Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. That's a daily thing. And it's something we need to keep doing until the end. For it's those who endure to the end who will be saved. Salvation is not a one-time experience, it's a daily life. It's a daily living of the Word and Spirit together. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne. He who overcomes. Now this is associated with the behold, I stand at the door and knock. See, that's where the power comes. To overcome. We cannot overcome by our own initiative. We can know the Word of God inside and out, but without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, giving us God's love to live out the law of love, we can do nothing on our own initiative. We only make a good showing of it at best, but God is not fooled. We may have everybody in church fooled, but God is not fooled. He's the only one who counts. If we fooled everyone else and we come to that day, God is not going to be swayed by everyone, all of those people saying, oh yeah, he's got to come in, he's got to come in. No. Hot for him. Hot for him. Because we've been zealous and repented and sacrifice our, what did Jesus say? Unless you love me more than your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your wife, your children, your own life. Daily. You cannot be my disciple. You're not really following him. You're not really obeying him, because that's the first part of obeying him. We have to sacrifice. Time is all we really have, is time. We have to sacrifice it to put God first in our life. Seek first the kingdom of God. And it's a continually seeking first the kingdom of God, day after day. Seek first the kingdom of God, and he'll add the things to us that we need. We do not need to be so concerned about those things. One thing we need to be concerned with, and that is loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. When we give him our love, he fills us with his love. The power of his love to go out and love our neighbor, and our enemies, for that matter, like we love ourselves. Those who will do these things, he who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne. You want to sit with Jesus on his throne in heaven? As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is not to the world. This is to us, believers. It's not enough just to have a belief in God and say, yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. But we believe it with our lives. We believe it by following him, by doing the things that he said. And we can't do those things that he said unless we're filled with the power from on high, which we seek on a day-by-day, daily basis. And then we wait on him, like a waiter waits on you in the restaurant. A good waiter or waitress who watches you and looks, wondering what you need next. Oh, let me get this for you. That's what we're to be doing like now with our lives. But how we don't see you, Jesus. How can we wait on you? I mean, you're in heaven. Well, what are we supposed to do? He says, inasmuch as you do it for the least of these, you do it to me. So we wait on people here on earth with his love, serving the people here, showing people God's love, and they will look at us and say, oh, how do you do that? When they ask us, then we can share Jesus with them. That works a lot better than trying to argue with people about what truth is and try to get them converted. It doesn't work. Well, sometimes it might. But a much better way is to show them what love is like. Tell them how God works in my heart and how he's delivered me from this and that. And I mean, I've been such a wretch, and I still do. There are still things in my life, but I'm looking for God to deliver me from those too. When they see that humility, and when you describe how luscious God's love is, they're going to say, oh, where can I get living water? We don't have any streams around here like that. I just got this well that's, I got to walk all the way over here and put the bucket way down there and haul it up. And it kind of tastes really strong, and it almost tastes like dirt. But this living water you speak of, from a stream, running water, ooh, where's that? How do you get that? I had a guy ask me. First, I went up to him and started talking to him, and he perceived that I was a Christian, and he said, yeah, I got my own beliefs, you know. Yeah, I didn't argue with him. I just started describing how God has delivered me from... First, I just described how wretched I was. Some of the things that were really hurts in me, things that people did to me that hurt me, and how I responded and reacted, and how it screwed up my life. And then I told him some things that God did in my life to deliver me, and what it's like now, just the beauty of God's love in my life, and how it just makes me want to just do things for people, just because I want to do them for them. And he says, where do you go to church? At first, when I started talking, he wasn't interested in any of that. But now, all of a sudden, you see, I didn't have to argue with him. I didn't have to argue doctrine. I just told him what real life is like. And then, all of a sudden, he's really willing to throw down his doctrine and find out what I got. I wish I would have learned to do that years ago, but I didn't. But now it's good. I wanted to read a couple psalms here, because we still have repenting to do. We've seen the need for repentance. Psalm 38. So I'm just going to lead us through some few psalms where David did it. He did it. And he records all of his process. We know David sinned with Bathsheba and then had her husband murdered. He murdered him. It's like he put a contract out on him. He says, O Lord, this is Psalm 38. O Lord, rebuke me not in your wrath. Chasten me not in your burning anger. For your arrows have sunk deep into me. God was chastening him. And your hand has pressed down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they weigh too much for me. My wounds grow foul and fester because of my folly. I am bent over and greatly bowed down. I go mourning all day long, for my loins are filled with burning, and there's no soundness in my flesh. I am benumbed. I'm numb and badly crushed. I groan because of the agitation of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs, my strength fails me, and the light of my eyes, even that has gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my kinsmen stand afar off. Those who seek my life lay snares for me, and those who seek to injure me have threatened destruction, and they devise treachery all day long. But I, like a deaf man, do not hear, and I am like a mute man who does not open his mouth. Yes, I am like a man who does not hear, and in whose mouth are no arguments. For I hope in you, O Lord. You will answer, O Lord my God. For I said, may they not rejoice over me, who, when my foot slips, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I confess my iniquity. I am full of anxiety because of my sin. But my enemies are vigorous and strong, and many are those who hate me wrongfully, and those who repay evil for good. They oppose me because I follow what is good. See, he's already repented. But his sin still aggravates him because he knows what he's done. And now people are making the most of it. They're grinding in their heels on him. But he calls out to the Lord and says, do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. We have sinned. We have not been hot for the Lord like he's wanted to. We were supposed to be a light to the world. But mostly in this country, I can't speak for Ethiopia. I don't know what it was like there. But mostly in this country, Christians cloistered together. We kept our treasure for ourselves. There's an awakening going on now. Men are repenting and being the light that they're called to be. But we still have The world, you know, is in a mess. And it's because we weren't being the light we should have been before. And now we're having to deal with the fruit of our lethargy, the fruit of our lukewarmness. As many of those people would have come to know the Lord, but we didn't tell them. We didn't live before the Lord with courage. We were too fearful of them. Oh, what if they don't like me? I can't say that. I'm too afraid. So we're in the place now where David was. We're repenting, but the world is a mess and it's coming against us. So David in Psalm 38 says, I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence. I was mute and silent. I refrained even from good, and my sorrow grew worse. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, was pondering, thinking the fire burned within his belly. Then I spoke with my tongue, Lord, let me know, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am, that I am here today and gone tomorrow. Behold, you have made my days like hand breadths, as long as the stretch of my hand, and my lifetime is nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. Surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I have become mute. I do not open my mouth, because it is you who have done it. Remove your plague from me. Because of the opposition of your hand, you hear that? Because of the opposition of God's hand, because of the opposition of your hand, I am perishing. With reproofs, you chasten a man for iniquity. You consume as a moth what is precious to him. Surely, every man is a mere breath. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner like all my fathers. Turn your gaze away from me, that I may smile again, before I depart and am no more. God's chastening hand was on him heavily, and it hurt. That's why he said, turn your gaze away from me. There was still a look of chastisement in his father's eyes. He wanted him to hear his prayer, to not be silent. But at the same time, it's hard to look at your father when he's looking at you with those eyes of... And God does get angry with us. But it's at those times we need to be courageous and come to him anyway and admit to him our faults and our sins, and ask him to forgive us, his people. Forgive me, Lord. Not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord. I stand in the need of prayer. I stand in the need of forgiveness. Forgive me, Lord. If I would have been what I should have been, I could have been a Moses to this whole world. Because you can use anyone, even a nobody like me, you could have brought revival to this whole world, even through a nobody like me. If I, a nobody, am full of God, a nobody plus God is greater than everybody. But I was too fixed on tending to my own desires. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God. Forgive me. Wash me clean. Fill me afresh today. Fill me. Give me hope that I can rise up. Raise me up, Lord. I've humbled myself before you. And I do humble myself before you. Raise me up to be the man of God you've created me to be, that I would be a light to my family, to my neighbors, even if they reject me, I still need to be that light. To the world, to my city, to my country, and to the world. Do in me what you purposed to do. I give you my life, my whole life, and trust in you that you are able to do it. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. And he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust, and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Now, many probably know that this is speaking of Jesus. David wrote this. He wrote it prophetically for the Son of God. But at the same time, we are now the body of Christ on this earth. The same Spirit that lived in Jesus lives in us. So these things we can take and say them for us. Because the same purpose that Jesus had, he's given to us. To be the light to the world. So, my ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, of us, the church, the body of Christ. It wasn't just a thing for back then, it's a thing to continue through us. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Now this is my charge. I'm going to change it. I'm going to say, not just I have proclaimed, but I am and will proclaim glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips. O Lord, you know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. Now this may be part that something we still have to do. Maybe we have hidden it. And that's why he's disciplining us. Because we took it in us, but we kept it under a bushel, under a basket, cloaked, behind the walls of the church. We have been afraid to live it before the world. So, we need to say, I will no longer hide your righteousness within my heart, but I will speak of your faithfulness and your salvation. I will not conceal your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation and from the world. You, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Your loving kindness and your truth will continually preserve me. For evils beyond number have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to see. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord, to help me. Let those be ashamed and humiliated together who seek my life to destroy it. Whether it's men, people, or the demonic world, it's all the same. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually in church and in the world, the Lord be magnified. Since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help. and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Lord, my prayer, Lord, is that you raise your church up out of the mire of this world . Another psalm, I believe it's Psalm 45. Yes. I'm just going to read the thing. I'm going to read the whole Psalm 45. My heart overflows with a good theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your splendor and your majesty. Again, this is speaking of Jesus. But take it for yourself, because now you are Jesus in this world. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your splendor and your majesty, and in your majesty ride on victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp. The peoples fall under you. Your arrows are in the heart of the king's enemies. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above your fellows. All your garments are fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. Out of ivory palaces, stringed instruments have made you glad. King's daughters are among your noble ladies. At your right hand stands the queen in gold from Ophir. Now here's the part I wanted to get to. We are the daughter here now. Listen, O daughter, give attention and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house. Then the king will desire your beauty. Because he is your Lord, bow down to him. And the daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is interwoven with gold. It took me a while pondering that. When God spoke this to me, listen, O daughter, give attention and incline your ear, forget your people and your father's house. Jesus said to his disciples, do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is. Do not call anyone on earth your leader, for one is your father in heaven. Do not call anyone on earth your teacher, for one is your Father in heaven. Now we all teach, and that's good. But our ultimate authority must be God. It is Him that we must plug our heart into to receive instruction from Him. If all we get is our instruction from everyone else on the earth, we are left wanting. I don't care how godly the man is. We each have to hear from God ourselves. But most of us, or many people in the United States anyway, have their hearts plugged into the TV. Ooh. Forget your people and your Father's house. You've made your people and your Father's house the world. We drink our nourishment, our rest. Oh, I just want to veg out and relax in front of the TV and let it fill me. He says, forget that. If you forget that and seek the Lord, then the King will desire your beauty, because He is your Lord. Bow down to Him. Quit bowing down to that image. Did you know that we used to have images that were just still life? But the world found a way to bring the image that we bow down to life. It's called the television. She will be led to the King in embroidered work. The virgins, her companions who follow her, will be brought to you. They will be led forth with gladness and rejoicing. They will enter into the King's palace. He says at the end, I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore the peoples will give you thanks forever and ever. God has called us out of the world. But if we drink from the world instead of God, are we really God's holy people? We need to repent. Those are my last words. My time is ending. You have the time. Give it to the Lord and seek Him with all your heart. Let go of the world and love God. Love God with your actions and with your heart, drinking Him in and giving Him to others. That is our salvation. That is how we will bring the world to know Him. Those in the world whom God has chosen to know Him, that's how we will bring them. Bless you and praise you. I bless you and I praise you, O God. Let these words sink deeply in our hearts. Thank you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this opportunity to bring repentance in my own heart and in the hearts of your people across the world. You are a gracious and merciful and loving God. You are slow to anger, but quick to forgive. And even when you do get angry, your anger is but for a moment, but a shout of joy comes in the morning and lasts through eternity. Lord, I pray for your people. I pray prayer in Colossians. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light.